If I can have the hosting team ready right at this moment. To those of you guys who are checking us out for the first time, you are here for the first time and wondering who we are, what we are, how long we've been going as a church at this moment. If you want to put your left hand, right hand up in the air, we'll give you a quick fly. Is anyone? Very, very quickly. Don't be shy. Just put your hands up. There's a gentleman right over here right at this moment. Is anyone? There is a lady at the back. Yes. Can I ask of you guys? Can we please? There's two ladies over here. No, Marge is not the new lady over here. Can we put a big round of applause? Thank you kindly. You would kindly forgive me that we are in summer. It is the church policy of the leadership that I've been given the license to wear Hawaiian or gumnut shirts like this. Wear shorts, please forgive me. I'm not one of those guys who wear a dog collar with a long sleeve shirt and all this above. So for the next 3-4 months, I've got 80 Hawaiian shirts to go through. And so if you see me, who is this guy, dark dude with a Hawaiian shirt? He's slightly strange. I'm one of the senior pastors over here. Can I ask of you to forgive me for that reason? Quickly, a couple of quick announcements. I just want to let you know. There is going to be a men's breakfast, I believe, next month. Is that right? Next month, there will be on the 8th of February, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Not 8:30, not quarter past 8, not quarter past 9. 8 a.m. Can I have all the gentlemen to come up? Whatever the age group, can I ask all of you guys to rock up? And we will have this on the 8th of February. Then the other thing I just want to let you know right at this moment, the School of Impartation, which will start this time, I'm looking at the gift of interpretation of tongues. It won't start until on the first week of February, just to let you guys know. I also want to let you know, I don't know whether we've got the flyers ready. The first CS conference will be held, I think, the first week of March. We are having an American minister from New Zealand. Yes, that is right, American minister who lives in New Zealand, who's originally from Arizona. He doesn't carry a Kiwi accent. He does speak an American accent. And then the other one is obviously a Kiwi pastor. Both of them are coming for the CS conference. We will get the flyers up and running as soon as possible. But can I ask of you, that will be taking place. Both are prophetic, both are apostolic. And so we often get those other pastors we often bring in. We would love to see you guys to come through right now. So can I have Matt and Ramona? Come. It's time to get embarrassed. Come. Come. Look at that. We have to expose you guys. Yeah. There will be a lot of time to...
Where'd you get that from? Stalking my face.
Yeah, I know. I've got my sources.
Oh, okay, that's all right.
These two are engaged to be married. Can I say what you said to me?
What about?
A couple of months ago?
Yeah, 100%.
100%. Yeah, this man, he was talking to Michael Hardwick. And Mike comes up to me and said to me, "Boss, this man wants to talk to you." He sits me down. He says, "Could you sit down? I'd like to ask you something." I said, "Okay, go on." He said, I'm not asking anything from you. I'm not asking that you need to inquire the mind of God or anything at all. I have already made up my mind to get married to this girl called Ramona. I don't need the inquiry. Can I have your blessing as a pastor that I can get married to this young lady?" That is fantastic. For the first time, I felt I had no pressure on myself. So can I kindly ask of you guys, this couple are beautifully matched. We love these guys. They're going to get married. I do not know when, but this is going to be this year. Can I ask of you, can you please start praying for them in this wonderful, beautiful journey that they will enjoy for the rest of their life being together in their home, in their house, in their holidays, and all the things that comes with a marriage. If you guys could do that for me, I would be really, really grateful, thankful. God bless you. Thank you. On a somber news, can I get Hazel to come up in the front and Cody to come up in the front? There are sometimes, as a pastor of a church, you handle good news. Sometimes as a pastor of a church, you do not handle good news. There are times, there are days are not as good as it can be. And so We found out yesterday that Hazel has lost her sister. And so that means Cody has lost one of his aunties. And so when mortality hits, when your loved ones leave this earth, you and I will never be the same people. I lost my dad 13 years ago. I'm still not the same person. I still think that he's going to come back home. But he's not going to come back home until one day I'm going to be taken up to heaven and then I can see him. So can I ask all of you guys to bow your heads, close your eyes. We want to pray for a prayer of strength, a prayer of condolences. But more than anything else, we know that Hazel's sister, Cody's auntie, is in a better place than on this earth. Okay, so let's pray. My Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus, God. As we grieve in our hearts and as we cry before you, mortality says this is too hard. It is not easy to handle. We lost someone who is very precious. But today we want to remember Cody and Hazel and Sean's family, who Hazel's sister that we've lost right now. We have given her unto your feet. Today she's with you. But yet, God, it is not easy because our heart is aching. Our minds are going through in a grieving process. And we know that auntie, that sister will never come back here again. But we also know that Bible says very clearly, it's given us an assurance, she is in a better place, in a better spot, God. We thank you, we ask of you right now. As a church, as a corporate body, we lift Hazel and we also lift Cody in our hands before you, God. And you'll raise them up, you'll anoint them, you'll cover them. Give them, God, this time, a time of fond, wonderful memories of the auntie or the sister, God. We thank you, we ask of you. We love you for everything you've done, God. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people say, amen. Amen. Thank you, Mom. Thank you. I've also got another bad news. Please forgive me. Not that I want to be like that. There is a wonderful couple. This couple have been praying for me, for this church, for a long time. For me in particular. The lady's name is Judy. And the husband's name is Piet. They both come at 8:30 service. They are usually not at the 10:30 service. They were getting ready yesterday to come to service. Apparently, I understand that Piet had sat down on the chair. As he sat down, he had a heart attack and he just passed away. So this happened yesterday. They're not here right now. So that is also, we are going through a grieving process on that. We are hoping to see Judy tomorrow and we can pray with her and all the above. So can I ask you, a couple of families are going through some difficult spots and difficult times. Can we lift them up? Can we start to pray for them? I would be really grateful and thankful to you, all of you guys, right now. Other than that, I want to guarantee you today, this is not going to be like the last Saturday service. All of you guys only return back home, I think, 7:30 or 7 o'clock. So I can guarantee you within the next 25 minutes, 30 minutes, I will finish my sermon with you and then I'll start to pray. Last Saturday, I said to you through the Spirit of God, the royal family will go through a huge, major shakeup. And I remember a number of people came and said, what could really go wrong with the royal family? And so you saw on Wednesday night, the Megxit is happening right now. Meghan Markle and Harry are going to leave the senior roles. Never consulted with the Queen. This is not done before. If you think this is what's going to happen, you ain't seen anything just yet. There's more to come. And so I'm asking of you guys to please pray. That was just less than a week ago, guys. God said to me, I remember God, the Holy Spirit said to me, and I said, my Lord, don't waste my time. Don't waste your people's time. What could go wrong with, you know, so bad with the royal family? He said, something big is about to take place. That was told Saturday. By Wednesday night, all of the above has taken place. So we want to thank and praise God. Under a week, already one prophetic word has already taken place right at this time. And so if we keep on praying, we are still on 21 days fasting and prayer. If you guys could keep on praying for it, I'll be very thankful. Can I have the... thank you. I want to look at a subject called loyalty. I'm a huge fan of Singapore Airlines. That's because I was born, raised, educated in Singapore. and then left Singapore at the age of 20, came into this country. Now I've lived here for 31 years. So my experience in this country has overtaken this experience in Singapore. I have paid more money to the taxpayer than my own original place of home. And so one of the things is, whenever you fly with Singapore Airlines or any airlines with Qantas, they'll often ask one thing: are you going to be loyal to us? If you're going to be loyal to us, then the Singapore Airlines will offer you what we call Kris Flyer card. And so I don't have a platinum, but I do have a silver card, which means I can use a silver card whichever lounge when it comes to Singapore Airlines. But in the recent times, some of you guys know I've been flying into United States. For some unknown reason, I decided to now fly with Qantas. So now Qantas has also updated with me to also a silver card or whatever it is right now. And so I'm working towards a way. And so big corporate, you know, companies love to have loyalty from you. If you're loyal to IGA, if you're loyal to Woolies, if you're loyal to Kohl's, if you're loyal to whichever corporate, you get 4 cents out of a litter, whatever it is. But people are asking loyalty. Do you realize what's going on? We're living in a market right at this moment. Loyalty counts nothing anymore. When my dad worked for an English firm, he worked for 35 years in the same old company. But if I ask the millennials, or if I ask the Gen Y, how long have you worked for this company? For the last 6 months. And then you'll ask for the, and then you'll go for another 6 months, then you go for 12 months, and there is no longer, what we used to know, loyalty. Not that I'm having any criticism with any generation, but I'm saying to you that the loyalty that we used to have years and years and years ago, now the industry has changed. People have changed. Even when it comes to a church, when you come to a church, you look at the church as though like Kohl's or Woolies supermarkets. Whatever, whichever supermarket I'm in, can this pastor do this for me? Can that pastor do this for me? If I can't get what I can get from this church or from this pastor, I've got another church, I've got another supermarket. When I stayed under Pastor Neil Moore's ministry, I was with him for 17 years. I did not leave under Pastor Neil Moore until one day God said to me, I want you to start a church called Living Faith Community Church at Claremont. I said to God, my Lord, do you know who live in Claremont? You don't see darkies in Claremont. I said, do you see? I'm not a whitey. I'm a darkie here. He said to me, well, that's what I'm sending you. So that's how we started this church. We never started our church in Inaloo. We started at Mount Claremont, at Montgomery Community Center on Montgomery Avenue. That's where we started our church. And so, I stayed until 17 years with Pastor Neil until the day God said to me, and then I asked Pastor Neil, would you give me your covering for the next 2 years as we plan this church? Now we no longer have covering from Pastor Neil Moore, but we've got a covering from ACC or the Assemblies of God, which gives us a covering right now. But until then, I showed my loyalty. And so I want to look at 1 Samuel chapter 22 verse 2. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 22, verse 2. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. Whom did they gather to? David. And then it says, so he became the captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. Could you imagine yourself? There are people who are coming to you who are in distress, who are in debt, who are discontented. Three different groups of people are going to come to you and are going to say, I want to come under you. And immediately you will say, I don't think so. I want that sort of group of people. Would you agree with me? Because they are not easy to handle. Am I right? A church without people is the best church in the world. A church with people, you've got a lot of issues going through. You see, pastors do not ever think, they say, I want more people. Yeah, thumbs up, more people. But do you realize more people, brings more different complexities, more complex problems. But if you've got a small group of people, you can handle them. But there are how many of them? 400 of them. You see, one of the things that I just find is this 400 men, stayed under this man called David for the next many years. There was loyalty. David took care of debt. David took care of discontent. David took care of those who were completely distressed. My point and my heart is, Bible says often that David typifies, or he's a typology of Jesus. You see, there's one person who takes care of every single person with all the three different character attributes. Discontent, debt, all of the above. And the one person who can do that, it's none other than Jesus Christ. Can I ask, today you will say to me, I'm living in 2020, but I'm not too sure, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to go through? Some years ago, many years ago, I befriended a couple. My wife and I befriended the couple. And when we came to know them, they were happily married. After 25 years marriage, 2 years ago, they finally parted their ways. And now, as they parted their ways, my wife and I spoke into their life so many times into their life about Jesus and all the above, what God can do. After being loyal to each other for 25 years in the marriage, they finally parted. But now, when they see each other in train stations, wherever they see, they do not even acknowledge each other anymore. Isn't that sad? 25 years of marriage. Marriage is not a piece of paper that you sign on. Marriage is a long-term commitment that you make to another partner. And you live through the highs and the lows. The times when you go through, the times you are in the lows, you cry, and the times you are going up, and you are happy. But you go through all the 25 years. Within one day, a piece of paper says, you are now divorced. Sad, isn't it? My heartfelt prayer for this church is, you and I have to have a loyalty to none other than Jesus Christ. Today, I see the couple, they come up. One of them has actually walked away from God and has decided to go through embrace completely on yoga and New Age. Walked away completely from God. And in all this, God has been faithful and loyal to them. But this last itsy-bitsy pieces, when the marriage came under duress, they could not handle. And there was no adultery, nothing at all. They said, after 25 years, you and I are not made for each other. That's it. Let's tear it up. So you and I are sitting in a place where no one can guarantee you what can happen the next time around. Can I ask of you to come to the second point? So from 1 Samuel, we saw chapter 22, verse 22. And so if you are going through and if you are saying, hey, Rich, I've got a problem with loyalty. There are some of us who never grew up with your dad. Some of us who never grew up with your mom. If you look at my wife's dad, who's my father-in-law, has been married 4 times. And so imagine, I'm married to my wife. And so she looks at every man who came into her life, every man who came into her life, I'll be loyal to you, I will look after you. But no, every time dad left her mother, went for another lady, and eventually I end up marrying my wife. So can you imagine the psychology of every man has done this to her? And she goes through in her life. And so there's always a kind of a DNA. There's a pattern which takes place. And so I want to make sure that if you are going to be one of those 400 men, discontent, debt, and all those things, I'm asking of you to form a pact or a treaty or an agreement, a loyalty agreement with my Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you are distressed, can I look at the book of Exodus 14, verse 22? Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Sometimes some people are saying, when you give your heart to Jesus Christ, there's peace comes. Am I right to say? There's something, there's butterflies comes in your tummy. You get excited, you get pumped, you want to share the gospel. 6, 9 months, 10 months, 15 years later, 20 years later, you got no more appetite of sharing the gospel anymore. Am I right to say that?
Jesus never promised to tell you that he'll throw roses or rose petals on the red carpet, and he did not say to you that you will never go through pain again. John 16:33 says, he shall go through tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus himself had to go through that. Here, Paul says more clearly, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Entering into the kingdom of God is not like this. It's not a click of a finger. Accepting Jesus Christ, it can be it's a kind of a click of the finger. But it's maintaining the faith of Jesus right up through the last breath that you carry through. Watchman Nee, the greatest Chinese theologian, the greatest Chinese missionary. There are some records they say, because in the prison he was sharing the gospel with his lips. Finally, in 1949, when the Chinese Revolution takes place, Mao Zedong actually got, the chairman Mao Zedong got some of the prisoners to get Watchman Nee's tongue to be cut, to be chopped off by a knife. And know what he did? After that, all he did, he then started to bite his finger with this blood. He would write scriptures on the walls. Right to the end, he maintained his faith in Jesus Christ. Can I say this? Bible says here, so you and I have been given the opportunity to strengthen each person. So if you are in the place of distress, discontent, and in debt, can I say right at this moment, as a church of Jesus Christ, we can come around you, we can embrace you, we can then strengthen you. These are people who go through distress. Can I come through a second point? Debts. When you have debts, what do you do? I remembered entering into ministry thinking that God has spoken to me, go now into the ministry. Twice, on two occasions, I thought I heard God. Both occasions when I entered, when I left my companies under a manager, he said to me, you look after me. On both occasions, my company was declared almost this close to be bankruptcy. Did I get upset with God? No, I did not get upset with God. All I said to God, God, I will never go into full-time ministry. I will just serve you while I'm working in business. Some of us, when we get into debt, you and I will get so upset. Where is God? What is God doing in my personal life? I believe this God, but he's not looking after my personal life. With this, can I have the scripture? Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nothing will separate us. The love of God. You and I. Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved this world, he gave his one and only begotten Son. That love is the love which is always in your personal life. You will face defeats. You will have the banks calling you. Oh, whatever it is. At the end of it, can I encourage you? Can I ask of you right now? Don't look at the circumstance. Look at the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God. If you start to see the love of God, then I'm telling you right now, you are bonding and you're forming what we call loyalty with God. Third point, let's go through. So the three lots of people that we are looking at in that scripture in 1 Samuel 22 verse 20. Distressed, debtors, and discontented. Can I have 2 Corinthians 7:4? Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. But I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. If someone has got a pain, if JT has got a pain, he's not going to come say, I'm very happy, my body's aching right now. Am I right to say that? If he had an accident, hey, my car got an accident. I'm really happy. I'm really joyful today. Not the case. I went into USA in September. I came back because it's been 24, 26 hours of flight. And after that, when I came back home, this upper thighs over here from September right up to the twenty-fourth of December, this upper part of my thighs has become like a tree trunk. No feelings, no nothing, and I'm just walking and I've got no feelings whatsoever. Every day from September right up to December.
every single day. I almost had to be like a hypocrite in front of myself and in front of my wife, the entire church. And I'm still preaching the gospel, still sharing the gospel. I'm walking up and down over here, but I still don't feel anything on my upper thighs. I said, "Where are you, God?" The only thing you'll often say, "I'll heal you soon." What? "I'll heal you soon." Your soon can be soon. Every single day, "I'll heal you soon, Rich." Gone and seen the chiro, gone and seen the physio, gone and seen, even I had to go and see the doctor. Maybe I thought I have to do an op over here. Did everything. They said, "We don't know. The feelings might come, the feelings might not even come at all, Rich. You've got to be prepared for it." Every night, I will just touch and pray, just believe what God has done. Paul says here, "I'm exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation." These are people who are distressed, discontented, and in debts. Let's go through a second point and let's see what sort of solution, could you do? So we have started to look at the 400 men with the three different characters, three different personalities, three different personas. So exactly what did they do? Who are they and what are they and why are they in the place where they are? So let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 8. "Some Gadites joined David in the stronghold in the wilderness. Mighty men of valor, men trained for battle, who could handle shield and spear, whose faces like the faces of lions and were as swift as gazelles on the mountains." So these are no ordinary guys. These are like your present-day SAS guys. All they have to do is just one look at you. They don't even have to carry a weapon because you're about to fall. My sergeant used to tell me in the armed forces, when I was in the armed forces, make sure when your enemy sees you, he's going to die because of your fear. Make sure that the enemy is not going to die because he doesn't want to die out of laughter. In other words, don't become like a clown in the jungles. That's how my sergeants used to teach me. Sergeants are quite funny. Have you ever realized that? If a house is burning, they will say, "I look at a palace and the palace is still being built up." They've got like a bit of a couple of nuts too loose. They're never the same guys. They everything they look at it, it's completely optimistic. They will never see anything negative. Everything is optimistic. So now you've got this great group of guys who come through, and then these are the guys, these are the character, the features, who they are, what they are, what they do. Imagine David has to rebuild them, all of them back again. If you are here sitting today right now and you are saying, "Rich, I'm discontented, I'm debted, and all the characters, how do I come around? How do I build myself? How do I build up? How do I come to the place that I want to come in what Jesus has got in my personal life?" Let's go through the second point. And so these are guys of men of war, men of courage, men of speed. Can I have Psalms 144 verse 1? "Blessed be the rock, my rock. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." You see, once you've come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, He trains you. And Bible says here, "He trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." You are not going to be forever debted. You're not forever going to be discontented. You're not going to be forever being going to be upset with yourself. If you only give God the opportunity for Him to do what He needs to do in your own personal life. Can I encourage you? Last week, I don't know whether I shared this with you. Angela Miller knows this. This was the last meeting that we held in Louisiana before I flew off to Dallas, Fort Worth, and then came back over here. And I remember there was a lady came up, and God says to me, "I want you to pray for this lady's tummy." So I got another lady, put her hands on the tummy. I said to God, "What's wrong?" She's got no child. But a little later on, I was told by the parents, this lady has been married to her husband, to her son-in-law, for 12 years. For 12 years, there's no child. 12 years, no child. She stood in front of me and she did not know what to do. She broke down and she cried. Bible says, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." came back, prayed, and I just said certain prayers, and I don't remember. Just before Christmas, they sent a text message to Ange, and they said, after 12 years, no IVF, no nothing, she is now pregnant. Can we give a round of applause to God? Once upon a time, you were debted. Once upon a time, you were, you had all those things. I was only once upon a time. Your time is changing. Bible says, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, I will make everything beautiful in its time. Your seasons are changing. Can we go through the second point? Men of courage. So these are guys who knows how to really handle situations. Judges chapter 6, verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty men of valor. The Lord is with you, you mighty men of valor. 400 men, completely distressed, comes under the hands of King David. David has to build them up. But the beauty about it, you can get an action coaching, or you can have mentoring, whatever you want to have. But nothing ever beats when you have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Nothing ever beats when you have an encounter with the angel of God. And the scripture says, the Lord is with you, the mighty men of valor. Could you see the changes are taking place? One step at a time. Men of courage. You see, even men who have gone into wars, men who have fought in different battles, they come back home, they can be very, very broken. You know this thing called PTSD syndrome. They don't recover because there are certain images which keeps on coming over and over and over again. And that image can disturb you, and that image will not be able to give you a proper decent sleep. But if you are in God, God removes all of the above. Third point for the second one. Men of speed. Can I have 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 to 10? But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Isn't that beautiful? I'll never forget. This is a true story which was going through in 1998 and 1999. You know the current Prime Minister of Malaysia, the oldest Prime Minister in this entire world. His name is Mahathir. He's 93 or 94 years of age now. He's running the country. And I'm amazed how he can run the country with little sleep he has got right now and still runs the country. But 1998, 1999, his special advisor, who is a Muslim, became a born-again Christian, a born-again believer. And he was the advisor to Mahathir. And he kept on advising, and eventually he came to know Jesus, and he started to share the gospel. Before he started to share the gospel, what happened was he said to his Prime Minister Mahathir, "I'm going to take my yacht, and I'm going to go to the ocean, and I'm going to sail." Only one man band show. He took the yacht and he sailed. As he was sailing, his yacht started to take water in, and the yacht finally sunk. This guy was treading water right in the middle of the ocean. No ships, no boats, no nothing. He can't even see the Malaysian mainland. He calls all the gods and goddesses. Let me make it very clear. He calls all the gods and goddesses. No one. But right in his heart, if I call Jesus, he will appear. He was so reluctant. It's amazing, you know, how many people have got such a struggle to call the simple name called Jesus. He didn't want to call Jesus. By now, he's in his last dying seconds, treading water. By now, he's going to sink. With a lot of reluctance, he says, "Jesus, if you are here, show me yourself." Within the next 30, 20 seconds, Jesus appears right in the middle of the ocean. He carried him up and starts to have conversation. 45 minutes, no ships, no boats, nothing at all. Eventually, this man gave his heart to Jesus. Jesus says, "Would you like to? Can I come into your heart? Would you accept me as Jesus, as my Lord and personal Savior?" He accepted him, Jesus, as his Lord and personal Savior. Jesus finally says, towards a 45 minutes conversation, he finally says, "There's going to be a merchant ship is going to come. The moment your eyes see the merchant ship, you will go back treading water. I will disappear from you." The last 1 minute, last 30 seconds, merchant ship comes. He sees Jesus, there's a ship coming through. Jesus disappears. He gets taken back in this merchant ship. He was brought back. He goes straight to the church, becomes a Bible-believing, born-again Christian. He starts to share the gospel to all the Malay Muslims within the cabinet of Mahathir. Mahathir says one day, "Come, I want to have a talk with you." Mahathir got his secretary, typed a letter of resignation. "I can't have you anymore because you are preaching the gospel. We are Muslims. You cannot preach the gospel anymore. Now, this is a letter. Take the pen, sign it, and give, and walk away." He walked out with a great freedom. This was 1998, 1999. Till this day, now he works underground churches in Malaysia. Who are those people who can't give their hearts? They're giving their hearts. He's become one of the senior pastors, one of the largest congregation underground in Malaysia. You see what I'm trying to say? This: we are a special people. Do we act like one special? This guy acted one so special. Can we come back to the next point? Soldiered for David. Last point. I'm going to finish this right now. 1 Samuel chapter 23 verse 5. "And David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines, struck them with a mighty blow and took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah." Now they've become productive. Did you see that? The moment you become special people, the moment you become a special breed, when the moment you become a special race, you are no longer to be threatened. No one can take you down. God is watching over you. First point, sub A point. Men who followed. Can I have 2 John chapter 1 verse 9? "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and Son." People ask me, "I want a miracle. I want a supernatural experience of God." My point is, are you willing to soldier with Christ? Christ is already soldiering with you, but are you soldiering with Christ? A lot of times, we give our hearts to Jesus I gave my heart to Jesus out of sheer desperation because I drank cockroach poison and rat poison to kill myself because of suffering from autism, Asperger's, and OCD. So out of the desperation, you finally give your heart to Jesus. Not there's anything wrong. But out of that, I got healed. My point is, God will meet your needs. But what about you? Would you then later in return, you will say, "My Lord, it's time for me to pay something back to you for the kingdom of God. I don't have to be here today with you guys. I could have done something else very different. I don't have to be a pastor of this church. I could have done something else different. But I'm doing this one thing because of what he did 37 years ago in my life. And I'm still trying to pay my debt. And I will never be able to pay that debt." Let's go through the second one. Men who fought. Can I have the scripture? Genesis. "And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with man and have prevailed." This is about the story of Jacob. Jacob struggled, wrestled with God. And at the end of it, he says, "Your name is no longer Jacob. Your name is now Israel, a prince with God." How many of you would love to be a prince? How many of you like to be a princess? How many of you guys would love to sit down? God will say, "Hey, I just want to say this to you right now. You know, within the next few days, the royal in the Buckingham Palace is about to have problems. He will come and tell you face to face." You see, what's the point of knowing Jesus that you read in the Bible, but there is a Bible that you need to have an encounter with him face to face? That's what you and I have to ask. Saul was able to see
God. Okay? You see different. Daniel was able to see God. Why can't we find God face to face? You got to have the encounter of that experience. The last point. Can we touch the last point? Men who were freed. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We no longer in bondage, but we are now in liberty. We are now in freedom. God has called you and I to be freed.